professional opinion. You gotta take it into account. Okay.
Okay. We're good.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Welcome to Hygieia's Bowl, a show by student pharmacists for students and pharmacists. We'll talk about complex topics from a beginner's point of view as we try to navigate life on our own while studying for a PharmD. I'm Joshua. I'm a 19-year-old freshman at Ohio Northern University, and I'm a pharmacy student.
Hello, my name is Katie. I am also 19, and I am also a second semester freshman pharmacy student at Ohio Northern.
So last week, if you heard our episode, we talked about the patient care process. So the patient care process is about creating a standard of care among pharmacists and other healthcare providers and ensuring that each patient has a good experience across the board, no matter where they go.
Yes. So this ties in very well with our concept this week, which is a little bit more pharmacy specific than the patient care process, but it still kind of applies. We're going to be talking about the pharmacist philosophy of care practice. Hello? The pharmacist philosophy of practice. I can't say it. What is the philosophy of practice?
So it's really an intangible concept as opposed to the patient care process where there were like specific steps laid out and a way to follow it. So the philosophy of practice is meant to lead a pharmacist to be ethically appropriate, clinically accurate, and make sure what they're doing is legal.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And as a whole, it should instill responsibility in the pharmacist to uphold the standards of their profession.
Right.
So what are some tenets of the philosophy of practice?
There's a lot of them.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of kind of dimensions to this kind of concept. So the number one thing is always providing the well-rounded, thorough care, keeping the patient at the center, taking their beliefs, feelings, and concerns into account. But then there's also the aspect of patient education and giving the patient the necessary tools to be successful in their care plan in terms of what they do. So this could include directions, making sure that the directions for, say, how to take a medication are clear to the patient and that there are no issues or there isn't a discrepancy between what the patient thinks and what's actually meant to be done with the medication. This also includes counseling, which, again, could be the pharmacist talking to you and making sure that you understand the process of your care. Also, providing context to the patient for unforeseen questions or issues. Very big thing. And then information about their disease state or medication that everyone always wants to know what's wrong with them when they go to the doctor. So being able to provide that information either verbally or in a pamphlet or a flyer or a website or something like that is super important to the philosophy of practice. So how do you think the patient care process is related to our topic this week?
Yeah, so we definitely want to be telling our patients what's wrong before they go home and WebMD,
right?
Whatever they've been told. You know, if you WebMD anything, you have cancer. That's always the answer.
Yeah.
Any headache, cancer, immediately.
Right.
So we want to be explaining things before they get to, before they go home and scare themselves on the internet.
Yeah. And the internet can be a great resource for medical advice sometimes. But just from my personal experience with the internet, do not take it as gospel, because 90% of the time, what you think that you have, that you Googled either on WebMD or Wikipedia or whatever, what you Googled and what you actually have are not the same. It's maybe happened like 3 times in my life that I've said, maybe I have this. And then I've Googled it and I've said, I think I have this. And then I've gone in and they've actually told me that I've had that. But again, yeah, any headache, like you were saying, any headache on Google is cancer. So just be really careful with how you're receiving your information, and definitely just ask your doctor or your pharmacist or any healthcare provider. It makes it much less stressful. Just a little anecdote. So,
yes, getting back to the times, lots of times they'll have resources for you before you go and try to find them all yourself. And then, like we said last week, lots of times people aren't going to know what to ask immediately in person. Especially with like a new medication, they won't know what medication they're going to be on when they're at the doctor's office. But then they get this medication and they go home and they try to follow the instructions. And sometimes it's really confusing. Like if you've ever tried to taper off of like a corticosteroid, sometimes those taper directions are very confusing. It'll be like, take 2 pills a day with 3 meals, one in the morning, evening, and night for 3 days. And then for 2 days, take 2 in the morning and 2 at night. And then for 1 day, take 1 in the morning and 1 at night. And then for 1 day, take 1 in the morning. And it's just so many steps.
Right. And what you just said, I'm a pharmacy student, did not pick any of that up. So we need to be conscious that people know what they're taking and know how to take it. And again, with like the going back to the patient care process, ensuring that everything's safe and that everyone's getting the highest level of care possible. So kind of off of that, how is our topic this week related to our topic from last week, the patient care process?
So first, we definitely want to be utilizing the other healthcare providers as part of this patient care. We want to be consulting their prescribing doctor. If they're in a nursing home, have the nurses on the same page, and just things like that. People who are involved in their healthcare, from you to the doctor to anyone else between there. And then second, the more obvious one is you always want to be helping the patient. That's the main goal. Nothing matters as much as the patient does in that instance.
Right.
All right, great. So the philosophy of practice exists. So what's it mean for us, though, as the provider? So I think this is something that we both like quite a bit, is reflection.
Yes.
That's kind of a big point of why we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to take the information you've learned and reflect on it. And you can't really know if you're following the philosophy of practice unless you're looking back at what you're doing and seeing if you're hitting all the points of it.
Right. Totally agree. I think it's just really important to be thinking about this now also as students and as interns and as maybe future pharmacy students or as a current pharmacist. It's just so important to think about and to integrate into what you're doing, because you could apply some of these principles and like taking care of each other and making sure that people know what you're talking about. So you can apply some of that to daily life things. So I'm not saying that like everyone who isn't a pharmacist should know the pharmacist's philosophy of practice. That's not at all what I'm saying. But, you know, making yourself clear and being able to clearly communicate with people is so such an important skill, no matter if you're a pharmacy student, a law student, not a student. Yeah, it's really important.
And then there are also things called living documents. I don't know that I've personally utilized these a lot, but it's a document, whether it's actually physically on paper or like a Google Doc or something that you just keep running, where you're continually adding to it. Whether it be in like a journaling style where you're just kind of talking about what you did that day or that week, or a more structured document with specific credits and citations, saying like, I did this training and went to this seminar and did this continuing education seminar. As long as it's something you're keeping up with and adding to regularly, then that can classify as a living document. And that's a good way to make sure you have something to reflect on.
Right. The way I always think of the concept of a living document is a resume. So I know that I have probably on my Google Doc about 16 different copies of my resume, from my college application process to applying for jobs on campus to this and that and the other thing. And I always keep one sort of central copy of my resume to add to as I continue to get experience at college, or if I think of something that maybe I didn't have on there before. I think it's just a really valuable resource to be able to say, hey, do I remember when I did this activity or this project? And you can just kind of go back and look and say, hey, this was when I did it. And it doesn't need to be official or fancy or anything, but I think it's really useful in the long run. So just a tip.
Yeah.
Okay. So fulfilling the philosophy of pharmacy practice. So how do you know if you're fulfilling it? So the big thing is that the philosophy of pharmacy practice should meet the social need. So for pharmacists, this is getting the most benefits out of the medication that we can while minimizing the instances of bad things. So as a pharmacist, obviously, the very, very baseline of our care is to make sure that the patient stays alive and stays healthy.
Maybe a little more than just stays alive.
True. But it's healthy and is thriving and is okay and recovers from whatever is going on in their life.
Yeah, so we want to be monitoring those medications so that we can avoid potential side effects and make sure that the patient is really just getting the most out of their treatment that they can, not taking unnecessary medications and not having something not be treated.
Right. And then the last really big part of this is utilizing the patient-centered approach to medicine. This is similar to what we mentioned last week with the patient care process. So you always want to be using and noting and understanding the patient's background, their experience, their concerns, and their beliefs to guide how the situations with the patient can be handled. And you always, of course, have to remember that you are providing them care. Their patient rights must be kept in mind, and nothing can be done without their consent. So if I wanted to prescribe Josh a medication that is maybe against something that he believes or interferes with something else going on in his life, he has the right, he has the right to say that he doesn't want to take it. And I have to respect that no matter how strongly I think that he should be taking it.
And then this can come down to something like if a patient is uncomfortable with injections.
Right.
And maybe the medication they're on is most commonly used in an injectable form. Most of the time, maybe not always, but most of the time there is a way to work around that. That's a big thing that compounding pharmacies deal with is specific medication needs to make a medication more accessible to a patient. So then one of the last parts of this philosophy of practice is caring through a therapeutic relationship. So more or less, this means that making sure the patient is comfortable with you and trusts you as their provider. If the patient feels like you're a complete stranger and doesn't know you, you're going to have a lot more trouble with, first off, just understanding their beliefs. You're not going to understand where they're coming from, and they're not going to trust you enough to know that you have their best interest in mind. It can feel like you're just telling them what to take and trying to send them out the door. Whereas if you put in the time to make sure you have that trusting relationship, you're going to have a lot more success in treating your patients.
This is such a big deal. I think it goes with many different types of professions, whether it's being a teacher or being a coach or a pharmacist or a doctor or anything. I think we've all had experiences with people that were like, they totally are not understanding where I'm coming from. And thus, it makes it a little bit harder for them to get through to you and for you to trust them in them providing their service to you. So this idea of creating a trusting relationship, it might seem very base in concept and in theory, but if you really dive in and you think about, oh, I've had this experience with this doctor that I was really uncomfortable with because they didn't communicate with me effectively or they didn't listen to everything that I had to say or anything like that, it's so, 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 so important. I cannot stress it enough that you are a trustworthy and understanding and compassionate member of this patient's care team, because without that relationship, the the effectiveness of the care is not going to be as good as it could be. And this is kind of going into the goal of the philosophy of practice in relation to the patient. So how do you see the philosophy of practice in relation to the patient?
The biggest takeaway that a patient's going to have from this is just knowing that we have their best interest in mind, that we want them to be the center of the care that we're providing them. That's kind of their biggest takeaway. Most of this is more just for us as providers to be thinking about and being aware of.
Absolutely.
So in trying to do research on the philosophy of practice, it's like I said at the beginning, it's a very intangible concept, and it really didn't have a place that it began. In trying to do research on it, there's not a whole lot of direct source for it. So when we learned about it in class, it was described as just the philosophy of anything. Every role in life has a philosophy that you follow. So one example we used in class was the philosophy of parenting. So everyone has a parenting philosophy. Whether you're a parent or not, you have beliefs on how parents should act in accordance to any specific things, whether that be their rules on technology, their ideas on how strict rules should be or what type of punishment should be used. Philosophy of practice or philosophy of parenting or of any other topic is just kind of a set of morals that you follow.
Yeah, I think having that basis into, you know, everything that you do, having the basis of, okay, I need to make sure that I'm conducting myself in a way that is conducive and effective and safe and respectable. And, you know, as healthcare professionals, we're definitely kind of setting an example for our community, whether we like it or not. So having that kind of basis and the morals and the philosophy that we can kind of build off of, I think that that baseline is something that's really beneficial to a college student, to a high school student, to anyone.
I'm sure everyone has heard the phrase, like, don't parent my child. Don't help me parent. That's because every parent has their own philosophy of how they should parent their child. That's where pharmacy and the philosophy of practice kind of differs from that, is to keep this consistent patient care across the board. The pharmacy philosophy of practice really has to be something that we all agree on. If every pharmacist had a different philosophy of practice, would people be running around saying, don't prescribe to my patient? Like, we have to be able to work with each other and be able to follow kind of the same train of thought, the same train of morals between providers.
Right. And a lot of this stuff might seem like, duh, like we need to make sure this is safe. Like, duh, we need to make sure it's legal and that it's like right and it follows what the patient wants. Duh. Like, it might seem really kind of basic and something that, you know, you shouldn't have to think about a lot of the times. But honestly, walking into work or walking into class or walking into something and really thinking, okay, this is what's going to happen today. I need to make sure I'm doing what I need to do and being safe and effective. You know, you're not always going to get the very basic case of the flu or a cold or a headache. Like, you're never going to get, and no patient is the same and no case is going to be the same and no prescription is going to be the same. So being able to understand and being able to take all of these different variables in the different cases that we have and being able to streamline them and make sure that each patient feels understood and feels good while also receiving quality care. That is essentially the philosophy of practice, and that is essentially what the core of being a pharmacist is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So that kind of ends our material. That I like this topic a lot, and I really enjoy the fact that we had this in fifth class to kind of start off our pharmacy career with this kind of idea in mind. So yeah, but next week we are actually going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to get a little bit more personal about us two, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we found pharmacy at ONU and a little bit about our dream jobs within pharmacy. And I'm so excited.
I am going to have to really reflect on my last year of high school and figure out how I got here.
Right, because, yeah, we both graduated in 2020.
Oh.
For those of you listening, that is the within the era of COVID. So it's going to be fun to kind of reflect on that time and, you know, maybe impart a little bit of wisdom onto our younger audience and those who are maybe looking at pharmacy or ONU or being a healthcare professional. So I'm very excited.
Our cover art was done by Thrice Design Photography and Design. You can go follow them on Instagram at @thrice_2_thine. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Hygieia's Bowl. That's Hygieia's Bowl. Or email us at hygieiasbowl@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes and any other major podcast streaming platform. And if you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a rating and review to make us easier to find.